As we've said all along, what Christians believe has been reduced to pithy statements. That's not a bad word. It kind of, if you don't pronounce it correctly, it can come out wrong. But pithy is a short phrase that clearly encapsulates something simple, yet it can be very profound as well. And every word in the creed has been argued over for hundreds of years to make sure that it was faithful to the Word of God. It starts at that core. And when it says that we believe that God is creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, that is a extension of what we talked about last week, that there were those who wanted to say that what really mattered in life is the spiritual realm. What really matters is the holy forms of which the earthly realities are just a mere image of. That is to say that we want to, if we want to find God, if we want to worship God, if we want to follow God, we have to somehow disattach ourselves from the created world. We have to, in fact, hate everything that is in it and hope and pray for an escape from it all. In early Christian heresy that came about towards the end of the writing of the New Testament, and particularly you see this a lot in the second century, is a form of theology called Gnosticism. It's reared its head again as a really cool thing in books like the Da Vinci Code and such, saying that the really spiritual things about the world, the real things that matter with regard to God, kind of have a form of Gnosticism. Comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is knowledge. That the true form of religion, therefore, is kind of an experiential knowledge that dismisses the created order, has no concern for the world or for the people in it. The early Christians wanted to say no. When we believe in God as the creator, we believe him as the creator of all that is seen and unseen. That which you can feel and touch and see with your eyes, as well as that which you put your faith in and believe without sight and without touch. Everything pertains to the Lord. As Bob mentioned a few weeks ago, the great text that goes along with this is from Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The first few chapters of Genesis state very clearly that every time God had finished part of the created process, he said it was good. Now you might say, I look at the world now, and I don't see that good anymore. If this is what God has made, if this is the world we live in now, how can we say that what God has made is good? That's a fair question. And so people will therefore suggest that no, we have to acknowledge the world is itself evil. The world itself is something that we should want an escape from. Proper Christian theology would say, no, we have to hold two things in tension. We hold two things side by side and not let the other slip one to the other. One is that God created the world. It bears his design. But this world is fallen. This world has evil in it. This world has disasters of natural proportions as well as evil with regard to human hearts and darkness. And therefore we say, no, we acknowledge that what God has created is good, but that we also pray for and work for its redemption. We have to uphold what God has made and also pray that God would make it new again. Our hope, Revelation 21, when it is all said and done, God will make all things new. Now, why is it important for us to affirm God as the creator of all that is, seen and unseen? Well, let me tell you what it's not important for. It's not important for a collision with science. People are going to disagree for days to come, if not years or centuries, about how it is that all things came into being in terms of scientific discovery, whether or not evolution was a part of the process, whether or not the expansion of the universe was part of that process, whether or not geological disasters or slow mechanistic formulas make it all come into being. Back in the day, of course, when the creed was formulated, there was not a great scientific debate like we have it today. And you all, I would leave it to you to make up your own decisions on the degrees to which you believe or disbelieve in those connections. But the pursuit of scientific inquiry and faith in the Lord are not opposed to each other. How it is they shake out in the end is a matter for humans to make decisions on, but also to recognize very clearly that none of us was there in the beginning. And we're not going to know how it all turned out. Well, when the early church says that we believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, it is to state very clearly how we live in light of what we see. If God has made the earth, and if God has made humans within it, then we have a responsibility to ask the question at each and every course, at each and every moment of our lives, how is it that I live in light of the understanding that this is the result of God's creative design? And here's how Christians have taken this out in terms of practical understandings. They've understood that God is the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. They have gone to bat for and they have defended those for whom the world has left behind. For God to be the creator of human life, it is no accident that Christians throughout the world have been those who have formed orphanages to raise the children that no one wanted for a variety of developmental problems, financial considerations. Maybe it wasn't the son they've always wanted. They got the daughter instead. And Christians throughout the world have said that because we believe that all who are in the world are the Lord's, we will take care of them. We will protect them. We will raise them. However hard it will be, however awful the circumstances might be, we will care for them day in and day out. And you go to orphanages in the third world countries today, and there are millions of kids throughout the world who are being left behind. I see we talked about this a few years ago at the conference in Berkeley, and the refugee camps of children left over simply because they had AIDS were overflowing. And who was it that was caring for these kids? Christians. Can you imagine a world in which all we had was perfect kids not needing care? Ethicist Peter Singer in Princeton University advocates for infanticide for a variety of developmental disabilities. Christians would say no. Human life matters. And the child with a disease, a child with Down syndrome, a child with HIV, is someone we will care for and we will raise, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It is no accident that Christians throughout the world started hospitals to care for lepers, to care for people with skin diseases, to care for people who are dying left and right, to care for those who are falling by the sword left and right in war. You know the old ambulance symbol, the two snakes rising up right on the pole? It comes from Numbers. where the people were able to look at the snake, set up on the pole, and be healed from the disease in which they had. That's a Christian beginning, that we care for people whom the world would just say, let them be gone. Stay away from the lepers. They are obviously cursed by God, and we don't need to care for them. Christians have said no. The earth is the Lord's and all who live in it, and we will care for the person in any stage of their life. We will even care for, as Christians have done, those who have done great harm to themselves. Halfway houses throughout the world to care for those who have just abused their bodies with drugs, abused their bodies with licentious behavior, abused themselves and saying, you know what? We do not condone the actions of those who would simply want to destroy themselves, but we want to care for them and to show them that the Lord loves them. And the only way the Lord knows they're going to know the Lord loves them is through Christians who say, I will serve the least of these. Gospel of Matthew, I will visit the naked. I will visit the prisoner. I will visit those who are without clothes and help clothe them. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all who live in it. Christians also love and care for the enemy. This is a hard one, particularly in a day and age when we want to reduce it all to black and white. But every person, if we believe that every man and woman has been created in the image of God, that Christians cannot simply dismiss their enemies or justify their abuse. It's not to say that we do not pursue justice and the right terms of the law. But our goal is not simply to have our enemies eliminated. Our goal is to have our enemies come to know the love of God. How we treat our enemies matters. Christians throughout the world have been those who are even now running into brothels in Southeast Asia and pulling women in captivity out and then training them to go out into the world and provide for their families now, pulling them from awful circumstances, bringing perpetrators to justice, but doing it why? Because they believe that women and men in captivity are not chattel to be bought and to be traded and to be used. Because why? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all who live in it. Which also applies to the created world as well. How many of you were watching some of the National Park stuff on PBS? The Ken Burns. I know the big Ken Burns fan, Scott Mayfield. Blessed be Ken Burns, right? Yes. John Muir. Sorry, from a Christian background. A lot of people throughout the world have stated very clearly that because this is what the Lord has made, that we ought to care for the creation in which we live. I just can't imagine to this day a developed Yosemite National Park. Can you? One of the most beautiful places in the world, second to Glacier in Montana. But they care for the world and all who live in it. We talked about a while ago William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist of the slave trade, who was also incidentally involved in a number of other causes, especially the causes against the cruelty of animals. A guy who almost single-handedly abolished slavery in the British Empire also said that the animals that we have should not be abused. You might say, well, where does that fall on the political spectrum? Do we care? When we stand before the Lord one day, Jesus is not going to look at us and say, please tell me which political party you voted for. He's going to say, in many ways they both had it right, and in many ways they both had it wrong. What matters is not whether you're red or whether you're blue, but whether you're white, washed as snow, forgiven and free by the Lord, and whether or not we took seriously that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Because of this truth, all that is seen and unseen, Christians live for and pay attention to the seen and the unseen. They stand for human life. They stand for the widow and the orphan and the alien in our midst. They stand for those who are abused. They stand for those who are enslaved. They stand for those who have no voice. They stand for the world in which we live. They stand for all that God has made, saying that it's the Lord's. And yeah, we pray for its redemption. We pray for the day in which all tears will be wiped away. We pray for the day in which all disasters will come to an end. We pray for a day in which we need not fear. But until that day, we live and we believe that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All that we have, we are called to steward. Which is to say, we are called to care for it and use it as gifts from God. And human life is a gift from God. The creation in which we live is a gift from God. The beauty and the joy of animals that we have to spend time with is a gift from God. People of every ethnicity around the nation are a gift from God. Do we believe it? Do we believe that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it? This is why Luke Timothy Johnson, in his book, The Creed, calls the designation of God as the creator, the one who makes, grounds all other statements of the creed, because the one all-powerful Father is the source of all things, and because of that, God can also therefore be our revealer, our savior, our sanctifier, and our judge of all. Because heaven and earth are not God, but come from God at every moment. They reveal their very existence through Him. Because God loves what He has made, God seeks to save it as well. We believe in the Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. Let's pray.